The text that we're going to consider tonight comes from Psalm 23, but I'd like to also read this evening Psalm 22. So Psalm 23 is brief. We know it very well. Let's add to our Bible reading this evening a lengthier psalm, the one that comes before it, Psalm 22. This is God's word in Psalm 22 and Psalm 23. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of all the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling, from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him, and fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. Now Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So far we read Holy Scripture tonight. It's that last verse that we just read that is the text. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, there was another reason for reading Psalm 22 besides just Psalm 23 is very brief and to add to our Bible reading. And the reason is to call attention in the introduction a relationship between Psalm 22 and Psalm 23 in light of tonight being a preparatory worship service. Psalm 22 is also very well known to us. And it's very well known to us because Psalm 22 is one of the clearest psalms that prophesy of the suffering and death of Jesus Christ. The psalm begins with the well-known words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The very words that the Lord Jesus on that Friday afternoon cried out as he was in the depths of hell, enduring the wrath of God for the sins of his people. And then later in the psalm, you have graphic descriptions as though the psalmist himself was at the foot of Calvary seeing the events of Good Friday when the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. So Psalm 22 is an important psalm that clearly prophesies of the suffering and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then immediately after Psalm 22 is Psalm 23. And there is a relationship between these two psalms. And we don't often think that way. It doesn't always apply, but sometimes it does apply. That the psalms and the order that they are given are intentionally given in that order. So that we look at Psalm 23 directly in light of Psalm 22 and come to this conclusion. Why is everything in Psalm 23 true? Why is it that the Lord is our shepherd and we shall not want? And why is it ultimately that what we are going to consider tonight is true, that the goodness and mercy of Jehovah follows us all the days of our life and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever? All of that is true because it's all based upon the main truth revealed in Psalm 22. Because Jesus was on that cross as the good shepherd who laid down his life, crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because he did that, we know with absolute certainty that Jehovah is our shepherd. We have nothing that we lack. We have everything we need, and it means ultimately that the goodness and mercy of Jehovah will follow us all the days of our life. And that's what we reflect upon tonight. And that's what we reflect upon for preparatory, because a preparatory is not just the knowledge of our sin. To know the goodness and mercy of Jehovah, we need to know our sin. But it's also to know that goodness and mercy of Jehovah as we reflect upon our faith in God and in our faith in Jesus Christ, so that in the knowledge of our sin, we know this and we examine our heart with regard to this in this week to come. This is my God. He is the good shepherd. And this is who he is to me personally. A God whose goodness and mercy follows me all the days of my life. Which ultimately is why, to get to the third part of self-examination, I want to live a holy and thankful life. So as we reflect upon these ideas, we do so in light of what we read in the self-examination portion of the Lord's Supper form. Let's look at this under the theme, the goodness and mercy of, of our shepherd, the goodness and mercy of our shepherd. The three points are, in the first place, our present life, in the second place, our eternal life, and then the certainty. And that's the beauty of this text. It runs the whole gamut of our existence. It says something about our present life, it says something about our eternal life, and then the absolute certainty of those two realities being true for us. Let's begin with our present life, and we begin by honing in on what are the main ideas of the text, and that's the goodness and mercy as it's taught in the text. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And one of the questions at the beginning is, whose goodness and mercy is the text talking about? And the answer to that is an obvious answer. The goodness and mercy of the text is the goodness and mercy of Jehovah, the Good Shepherd of Psalm 23. So it's not stated explicitly whose goodness and mercy it is, but we all know, of course, in light of Psalm 23, that this is the goodness and mercy of our God. And that's what we need to know tonight. It's not fundamentally that we need to know that there is the goodness and mercy of a man that may be upon me. It's not even fundamentally that I need to know that there's a very close loved one in my life who is good to me and who is merciful to me. Although that's really important, and God is pleased to use that and help us with that when we express goodness and mercy to each other. But in the end, fundamentally, that's not what we need to know. What we need to know tonight is this, that we have a God, and this God is a good God, and this God is a merciful God, and that goodness and mercy of Him, is what follows me all the days of my life. And that's the truth of the text. We're talking here about the goodness and mercy of Jehovah. The goodness and mercy of Jehovah is what it is because God Himself is a good God. And God Himself is a merciful God. That's our confession about God. He is a good and merciful God. And of Himself being good and merciful, He then expresses and manifests that goodness and mercy to His people in Jesus Christ. He's good to us, which means He has what is best for us in mind. He so works in His favor and in His actions to lead us to what is best for us. And what is best for us ultimately is where this passage is going. That we, a sinful and guilty people, are brought out of that sin and guilt, and we are brought home to be with God. That is God's goodness operating in our life to see to it that we receive the greatest end, which is best for us as His people. And He's merciful. He's merciful. He's compassionate. He's loving. He looks down upon us, and He has pity upon us in His love for us, and He towards us lifts us up out of that and brings us unto Himself. This is who our God is. He's a good God. He's a merciful God to us. The passage is the conclusion of Psalm 23. So that we could go on a bit and explain technically what the goodness and mercy of Jehovah is. But as the conclusion to Psalm 23, really what we have going on here is the fact that this goodness and mercy of Jehovah is what summarizes the entirety of Psalm 23. You want to see the goodness and mercy of God? Well, look at everything that we're taught in Psalm 23. There it is. It's all right in front of us. This is the goodness and mercy of God. Verse 2, He makes me lie down in green pastures and He leads me beside the still waters. What a good and merciful God we have, that He leads us to the still waters and the peaceful pastures, so that amidst all of the chaos of this world, the unrest of our hearts, everything that can make us troubled, God leads us to the point where we can be at peace and calm in our mind and in our heart because of who He is to us in Jesus Christ. This is the goodness and mercy of God. He restores our souls. He restores us when we fall, when we're like a sheep that's fallen on its back and it's completely helpless with its legs up in its air and it can't go anywhere and it can't do anything. God, in His goodness and mercy, comes down and lifts us up and puts us on our feet so that we then follow Him as the Good Shepherd. And He does that in Jesus Christ. We as sinners are like that sheep that are fallen on our back and we can't do anything. And God comes to us with the word of the gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ, and it restores us. It puts us back on our feet so that we see the Good Shepherd again and we follow Him. You want to see the goodness and mercy of Jehovah? This is it. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. We need to walk in a certain way. And that's what we're going to reflect upon in this week of self-examination. We need to be on a path. And it's not that path. That's the path that we want to go on by nature. That's the path of the predators and the cliffs and the death and the destruction. But God is so good and so merciful that by His Word and by His Spirit, He leads us in the light of life, in the path of righteousness, on the straight and narrow that leads to heaven. You want to see the goodness and mercy of God? It's this, verse 4. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear any evil. And we're all in the valley. Because we're all going to die. And sometimes we're in that valley, and it's a very deep valley, and it's a very dark valley because death is staring us in the face. Maybe you walked aside along a loved one, and what's predominantly on your mind is this dark, deep reality of death, or you yourself are in that place. And you're in that deepest and darkest valley of death. And this is the goodness and mercy of God. He leads us in our thoughts and in our hearts by His Word to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Good Shepherd, who went down into that valley, the darkest and deepest part of that valley. He entered the death itself, so that as we gaze upon by faith that Good Shepherd in the midst of that valley, we don't have to fear. How good and merciful is the Shepherd. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's the goodness and mercy of Jehovah. There's a rod and there's a staff. It corrects me. It brings me back. We talked about that wandering. That's what we want to do. And He brings us back. He doesn't let us go off that cliff to destruction. And that staff and rod used to keep away the predators. He prepares a table for me. Think about what you're going to have Friday evening. A table, a meal, fellowship, blessed life. So that you take anything in Psalm 23. All of these truths, briefly summarized, known so well to all of us, both young and old, and every single one of them is this glorious truth. God is a good and God is a merciful God to us. Now, the truth of the text is not just that Jehovah is a good and merciful God, but it's also this. That goodness and mercy shall follow me. Shall follow me. Now, when David writes this in Psalm 23, it's a very descriptive word that he's using to describe what God's goodness and mercy does to him. It's loosely captured in this word follow. That's an okay translation that somewhat captures the idea of the word. But there's something more descriptive and graphic about it that helps us understand the idea. Literally, that idea of the word is to pursue or to chase. Most often in the Old Testament, it's used to describe what armies do to their enemies. Armies pursue. Armies chase. Armies try to persecute the enemies that they are seeking to destroy. And David takes that word and he applies it to the goodness and mercy of God. Now, David takes that word because he was very familiar with that idea. David knew exactly what this word conveyed because he himself experienced it. You children here can think about the life of David. And you know what so much of his life was about. Earlier in his life, there was Saul. And on multiple occasions, what Saul wanted to do was destroy David. So that David was on the run and you had Saul on his heels, pursuing, chasing, seeking after David. And that's the idea of the word. And then later in the life, as though that wasn't enough, you had Absalom. And now it's not just some other man from a different tribe, but now it's his own son. And his own son tries to do the exact same thing. He pursues and chases his father to try to usurp the throne. So that David understands this idea. And he takes that idea, understood personally, and he says, this is also what the goodness and mercy of God does to me. But understand that it's much more than just, on the one hand, he understood the idea, chasing, and then he takes that idea and he applies it to the goodness and mercy of God and what it does to him. It's more than just he understood it and uses it. But the point, I believe, is that David is saying, when all of that was happening, when I was being chased and pursued by those enemies, there was something else happening as well. There was something else happening that resembled that happening. There was something else that was chasing me and pursuing me and relentlessly right there with me the whole time. And that's the goodness and mercy of God. So that David can write this at the end of his life and say, when I was being chased, when I was going through that, God was right there. He was always right there. He never left me. And He was always right there in His goodness and His mercy. So that he could be in a cave and have no idea what was going on around him. But he could be at peace. Because God gave him that peace. Because he knew who his God was. So that he could face that valley of the shadow of death, wondering day after day, is this going to be the day of my death? But right there with it was the goodness and mercy of Jehovah. So that he, in those times when undoubtedly being chased by those enemies, had evil thoughts and sinful thoughts and wrong responses, as we all have when we go through the hardships of life. But right there was Jehovah in his goodness and mercy drawing him back. So that he, when maybe in those moments just wanted to flee and go away from God's will, God kept him on the paths of righteousness. So that there was never a time with what David went through, with the enemies chasing and pursuing him, without right there God's goodness and mercy doing the same. Because God's goodness and mercy never escapes his people. And then there's this, that goodness and mercy doesn't just follow me, but it follows me all the days of my life. There's something about that that's remarkable in light of what is true of our lives on this earth, which is so much of it changes. The nature of life on this earth is things are always, always changing. The possessions that we had a long time ago, they're different than what we have today. The relationships that we may have today are different than what they may have been in the past due to death or moving or whatever other circumstances. Very few of us would say at this present moment, if this is what I thought I would be in right now, 10 years ago I would have said, no way is that what I'm going to be in right now. But yet that's where I am. Our lives are always in flux and our lives are always changing. But then you go back to a truth like this and you say, well, there is one thing that never changes, that every day is right there, just like it was the day before and just like it will be the next day. And that's the goodness and mercy of Jehovah. It's remarkable. It's remarkable that in the world of change in which we live, as Christians, we can say, but there's something that doesn't ever leave us. And that's what we fixate on. But at the same time, just as there's so much that does change in our life, there is something that doesn't change, which makes this truth so needed and so wonderful, because what doesn't change is the reality that I am a sinner. I am a sheep who wanders. And I know that every day and that every week. So that if this wasn't true, I couldn't press on. You couldn't press on. If this wasn't true, I wouldn't have any hope. I couldn't have any hope. But in the consciousness of my sin, every single day, every day we know this, and every week, which is why, where do we come every week? And why do we want to come on Friday night? We want to come here to the house of God on the Lord's Day because the constant reality of our life and our conscience is I am a sinner. And then we need to know the constant reality of who God is every day and every week, a God of goodness and a God of mercy. Lay hold upon tonight, beloved, this truth. In the midst of the change, this is what never changes. In the midst of the constant, my sin, this is also always constant. God every day, and God every week in the preaching of the gospel, is a God of goodness and a God of mercy. What a beautiful way to describe our present life. Goodness and mercy follows me all the days of my life. But then in addition to that, the passage goes on and it says something about our life to come. And this is what it says about our life to come. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the beauty of the text, as I said in the introduction. The beauty of the text is that it brings us into the whole gamut of our existence. In our present life, this is what is true. And then in our life to come, this is what is true. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But these are not two unrelated realities. The first part of the text is very much related to the second part of the text, and it has everything to do with that idea of follow, which we said is chase, pursue. And the way to look at the text is that that goodness and mercy is not just chasing us and pursuing us in chaotic circles, round and round and round and round, like there's no purpose and point to it. But that goodness and mercy is chasing us down a path, chasing us in the race of faith that we are running, pursuing us to that finish line and to that end, when on that day we will be brought into the house of the Lord forever. And that's the way to think about the passage and all that God does in His goodness and mercy to us. All of it. when I ran through the psalm, all of it is God so shaping us and forming us and leading us and guiding us and directing us and pursuing us so that one day, that goodness and mercy will chase us right into heaven itself when we will be in the house of God forever. The way in which David describes eternal life in the passage is dwelling in the house of the Lord. And so he uses the figure of a home, because the figure of a home is what draws our attention to fellowship and communion and friendship and love. That's what a home is. A home is where there are people who dwell together in communion and love. And all throughout the Bible, God has used this picture to say this is what your ultimate salvation is all about. Now, David, of course, had things that he knew of that directed him to say this. There was for David in the Old Testament the temple. And he knew that temple that he would go to in a special way is where God dwelled. And that temple, when they went there on the basis of the blood of the sacrifice, was their experience in the most intimate way of being with Jehovah God. And what they experienced in a little way in the Old Testament is what David then says, this is going to be the reality forever. And we say the same. We say the same thing tonight as we dwell in the house of God. What is going on here? What is going on here is that we come together as a family. We come together as those that are bought by the blood of the Good Shepherd. We come together as those who are brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we come together as those who know that it's here in this house that we dwell with God. This is where we fellowship with our Maker. This is where we enjoy Him through worship and prayer and song and word. And we know that this right here, just as it was for David in the Old Testament in that tabernacle and later temple, is just a little bit of a foretaste of what eternal life is going to be. When we are brought to heaven and we will see God in the face of Jesus Christ, and when we see God in the face of Jesus Christ, it's not just going to be we're going to see Him at a distance, but that seeing Him is going to be the reality of being with Him. And that seeing Him is going to be the reality of enjoying Him, all with the freedom from the burden of sin and the burden of guilt and the burden of suffering and the burden of sorrow. And not just with Him, but with all of God's people redeemed by the blood of Christ, dwelling in the house. That's what it's all about. And David says in the text, that we're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And let's lay hold of that forever for a moment. Because when you really stop and think about it, it's an idea and a concept that we can't fully wrap our mind around. I can understand 38 years. I can understand 38 years because I've been on this earth for 38 years. I can understand looking at an elderly saint 85 years and conceptualize that. I can look at history books and figure out 1,000 years and the passage of time and the development of culture and technology. And I can see that and I can understand that. I can even, and you can with me, look at the Bible and history books and say 6,000 plus years of human history. That all makes sense in some little way. We can relate to it. And then you're hit with Psalm 23, verse 6. And the truth of Psalm 23, verse 6, in light of all of the truth of the Word of God. And God says, no, We're not talking 38 years. We're not talking 85 years. We're not talking 1,000 years. We're not talking 6,000 years. No, we need to think in different categories altogether. We're talking forever. Forever. This is what is in store for us. And though we can't experientially conceptualize and relate to that, yet we believe it. We believe it by faith. We believe it because the Word of God teaches it. We believe it and we know that we are never not going to be in the house of God. And we will always be dwelling with God in the face of Jesus Christ, with all of God's people, without the burden of sin and without the burden of suffering, perfectly in the new heaven and the new earth. And we say, by faith, this is true. What a hope we have because of the work of the Good Shepherd. And that's really what's highlighted in this. What is highlighted in this is the work of the Good Shepherd. So great is the my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So perfect is the it is finished of Jesus Christ on the cross. So marvelous is the power of the resurrection from the dead. And so wonderful is that life earned by Jesus Christ in His living and dying and rising from the dead, that the nature of what He has done for us is that it's going to be forever. The forever of the text highlights and testifies and demonstrates the greatness of the Good Shepherd's work. So that when Jesus, when He was on this earth, said, I'm going to heaven and I'm going to prepare a home and a room in that home for every single one of my children. So perfect was His work that the nature of that room is that it's a room that we're going to live in forever. So, beloved, in this week, as you examine your heart and you examine your life, know the sin that makes you unworthy of that forever life in the house of God. But may God in this week lead you to see the absolute greatness of Jesus Christ, who is that Good Shepherd. And that what He has done for you is not just deliver you from the death that you deserve because of your sin and guilt, but what He has done for you is earn for you a life, the nature of which is that it will never go away. And set your heart and mind upon that in this week. And come here Friday night, ready to partake of communion, so that when you see that bread and that wine, and you know what it means, the broken body and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you go in your mind and heart in that moment to the amazing result of that. I have life. I have life. I have it now, and I have it forever, because of the sufficient work of my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then come with certainty. The passage is a confession of certainty. The certainty in the text is revealed in the opening word. Surely, David says, confidently, I know God's goodness and mercy is following me. And then he says at the end of the passage, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's not, you know what, I might. It could happen, but it may not happen. That's not the confession of David. David is, I know it. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He makes the confession with absolute certainty. Now, where does the certainty come from? The certainty comes from knowing who God is. He makes this confession because he knows the shepherd of Psalm 23. The certainty for David does not come from looking at himself. He doesn't examine himself and see who he is and see what he's done and say, I know with absolute certainty this is going to be true. That's not where it's going to come from. It never will. The rock solid certainty of knowing God's goodness and mercy will follow me and I will go to God's house forever. The rock solid certainty comes from setting your eyes of faith upon the God of Psalm 23. This is who God is. He's a great God. He's a good God. And as I set my eyes of faith upon the goodness and mercy of this God and the power of this God, I know as I set my eyes on Him, this is true. And this is absolutely certain in my life. And as I set my eyes on Him and I reflect upon my life, I have so many evidences that always right there was the goodness and mercy of Jehovah. Is that not the testimony of the child of God when they look back in their life? You look back in your life, and maybe you didn't see it in the moment. Maybe you didn't understand it in the moment. Maybe you didn't feel it in the moment. But the fact that you're right here tonight, that you're in the house of God tonight, that you're worshiping God from your heart, that you're laying hold of by faith the Lord Jesus who's proclaimed in the preaching of the gospel, it makes you look back on your life and you can say about everything in your life looking back, as a child of God, God was there. He did not abandon me. He did not let me go. He was always right there. And whether I understood it in the moment or not, I see it now, and I, by faith, can testify to it that God was good and God was merciful. And here I am. Here we are. We're in the house of God. We're singing to God. We're praying to God. We're worshiping this God because He is with me in His goodness and mercy. And as you look back in this week of self-examination, it's the very thing that leads you to look forward and say, I know it's never going to change because my God never changes. And if His goodness and mercy was there on day one as a child of God, it's going to be there on day, and we don't know when that last day is, but on that last day, it'll be there. And it's going to bring me into the house of God forever. The certainty of faith comes from knowing the greatness of our God and His faithfulness to us in His goodness and mercy all the days of our life. And so may God give us that certainty more and more. And when the doubts arise, and they do because we have a sinful flesh, may God, through this word tonight and through the preaching of the word on Friday and the partaking of communion on that same day, may God work through that to more and more dispel those doubts and to strengthen our faith so that we go forth in the confidence of making this confession, because that's what we do. We say it. This is our confession. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And because He is that, I know this. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee that Thou art a good and faithful God. And we pray for Thy blessing upon Thy word as it was preached tonight. May it help us in this week of self-examination, and may it prepare us to come together on Friday night. Care for us throughout the week in all of our needs. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.